Welcome back to another year of the Breakthrough Podcast. This is season number 3. Man, time flies when you're having fun. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. And you see down there, he's back for a third season.
Yes, sir. I'm back, baby.
Tell who you are, man. That's your opening.
I'm the CEO and founder of the Benji Group. I'm a Morgan alum, 2015 business administration major, and I am a returning citizen as well. So it's exciting to be a part of this podcast for another season, and I'm excited for this season for sure.
All right, so I didn't hear your name. So since I didn't hear his name, y'all probably said, who is this guy? This is Leon Robinson the Fourth, y'all.
Leon Robinson the Fourth. Yes, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all good, man. It's all good. So as you can see, we have a guest. But before we get to our guest, just want to let you know that, you know, we have some incredible things that we're going to do every time we come on and every time we do this for season 3, year number 3 for us. So you can follow us at edacmorgan.com and just click on ride. So it's edacmorgan.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Ride Small Biz. Actually, on Instagram at Ride Small Biz. And next time you see me, I'll have the Facebook because I can't remember what the Facebook is. So I need to get the interns to make it in sync. But of course, we have this podcast. We also do a entrepreneurship boot camp. We have what we call continuing education now. You know, we're a partner with the Returning Citizens magazine with Brother Todd Bozeman. We have a Ride U component to that. We also are going to do some in-person events. So the second Thursday of each month, we're going to do what we call continuing education meetups. So it gives an opportunity for individuals to get together, but also to learn some resources, learn some new skills and information to help improve your business. I mentioned the magazine already. And then I'm excited about this opportunity. We're partnering with Community Solutions and Luvon Dungy, who is a returning citizen and has been on the Breakthrough Podcast before as well. He's going to hit up the Rehab Project. So working with brothers and sisters who are interested in learning about real estate rehab. So that's coming up in November. But again, more information can be found on our website at edacmorgan.com. With that said, I want to welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast. Oh, let me kind of back up. So the Breakthrough Podcast is Discovery of New Pathways and is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency and EDAC here at Morgan State University. And EDAC for short is Entrepreneurial Development and Assistance Center, but for short, it's EDAC. So now with that said, we're going to bring Lamont Bell here to the Breakthrough Podcast. Hey, Lamont, welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast.
Hey, how you doing, Umar? Great to be here.
Hey, man.
What's going on, brother?
Good deal, man.
How you doing, Mr. Leon? How y'all feel today?
Feeling good, man. Blessed to have you, brother.
Blessed to be with you guys.
Absolutely.
So a little bit about me.
I'm starting. Oh, no. Let me get you started, man. I know you're ready to jump right into it. So a couple things before. That's right. You know, a couple things before we jump in. You know, so how long have you been home? And then after returning home, what were your plans when you got home?
I've been home for 12 years. And I came home 2010, December the 23rd. My plan was to come home, get a job, build a business, and build a platform for guys coming home from prison. Mm-hmm. But this was way before I even came home. I just sit back and took it from an inside-out approach, mm-hmm. and visualized myself actually being here. And it's ironic that I'm here with you today because I've been talking to a couple of my colleagues about, man, I need to start a podcast because people got to... And it was just divine destiny. We met at the conference.
Absolutely.
So I was like, that's a blessing to get a brother who's on the same wavelength.
Yes,
and when you push that energy out there, I knew I was going to receive it back, but I didn't know where it was coming from.
I love that, man. I love it. So you said, you know, when you came home, you were thinking already, even before that, thinking about, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, how can I create something and make sure that I'm lifting people up so that they have the availability of opportunities as well. So what really led you to getting started in business? And then you can just talk about what your business is.
What led me to get into business, coming from the background I came from that led me to prison, I always had an entrepreneur skill. Mm-hmm. All the skills that I came with that led me into the business world, I already possessed, but I was taking the skill that I was blessed with in a win-lose situation. I have to win, somebody had to lose for me to feed my family, to do the things that I want and live that type of life that I wanted to live. But when I was placed inside the, I call it the penal system, it made me realize I have the ability to do anything any business person can do. I was just doing it without principles and values. And that was the difference. My value and my principles was based off of my environment and the things and the opportunities that I had. It always been there. I just chose not to take them. And I took the back way out, thinking I was doing something that will propel me to a direction where I wanted to go. Little did I know, when hurt people, it don't end well. So instead of me being taken physically off the earth, I was just put into a facility because I don't believe that prison changed me. I changed myself through my mental imagery and really thinking about not being determined by my culture and that my habits can be changed. So when I came home, I was determined the first thing I had to do is my first 6 months. That's critical to any person come home from reentry. So my first thing, I got to get a job and start where I need to start at. And when I did that, I got into a temp agency and I just learned everything. And then when I left the temp agency and went with the company that hired me through the temp agency, I learned everything. And that's when I knew I had one of my niches was to give back to the community and contribute to community, as well as I had a gift of solving problems. And that's what really an entrepreneur, all the big terms I was saying, people, entrepreneurs this and you got to have an LLC. But when I was introduced to the simple term of an entrepreneur is a person who solves a problem for a profit, which you have a passion in, then it changed the whole landscape. So I'm really good at cleaning. When I was in the prison, I used to clean. Even the guards was like, man, your room stayed, your cell stayed nice. So all those etiquettes that I had, I started a daycare with my wife and a cleaning business in 2017. And then when I looked at, I couldn't, due to bad credit, you know how you're growing up, your parents use your social and all this stuff. So my credit was bad, so I worked on that, on those things. And then I couldn't get loans from the traditional banks because one, I'm a returning citizen. It wasn't helping me. During that time, things is changing with guys like you and Mr. Vanessa, putting it forth. So I took those two businesses in the middle of the pandemic and started a third business, which was an assisted living, something that everybody need. Everybody need cleaning, everybody need childcare, and everybody need their parents taken care of. So with that, I just started moving forward. And now I'm propelling to a fourth business, which is learning the internet and all these things and starting my own affiliate marketing company for people who are coming back into society for re-entry guys and everything like that, and take it to a digital world that I never experienced. So I'm really excited about that one.
I like that, you know, so multiple streams of income. So you already learned that, you know, so coming out, you know, so who were, Were there a lot of resources? I heard you say that you tried to apply, you applied for state funding, but it was declined. You know, were there any other resources available to you as you came out? Like mentors, any advice, or, you know, was there?
It was available, but not through it was those institutions that was available to me, but it wasn't in an entrepreneur spirit. It was in more like an employee spirit. And that wasn't my spirit at the time.
Yeah.
So if it's not good with my soul, I'm not going to go that route. Mm-hmm. So basically they was there, but they was giving me things and what I needed, that experience, that inside out experience, whereas though changed my character and built off my character and tackle my private victories to bring it to my public victories. So that's what I was basing on. I didn't have those. So when I ran into you, Miss Vanessa and all y'all, it was like where was y'all at in 2010? I needed you guys back then. I think I would have been like, yes, I had to go through a whole bunch of hoops. And then I used my own money. We struggled, but I used my own money. I said, well, they don't want to give me the money. That's not going to stop me from my goals and aspirations. My conditions don't play a role in me growing and developing. So as an entrepreneur, it stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. You have a problem in front of you. How do you solve it? Okay, do you use the streams of income that you got from two businesses and create slowly another business? Learn how to save and use your own capital to build. So what I started doing, putting 10% of all our earnings from both businesses aside for investment. And I took that route, and then I just started branching out. But I still have a lot to learn because I came into the business world like raw. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but aim, ready, shoot. That was my motto.
There was no other option. You had to figure it out on the business side.
Exactly. So I honed into a lot of the, because I in the life before, I was a person who was really good with numbers. I was really good enough in the street life. I was really good with numbers. And that was my net. I was good at, okay, if I take this and do this and do this, and if I do this and do this and do this, oh, I can make this. And if I say this and do this and do this, I was always a proactive person, but in the wrong manner. So what I did is switch the whole entire thing and transfer it into something that's going to be a win-win situation and contribute to my community. And I'd still be at peace with myself as I'm doing it. And if you don't get real happiness until you help another person succeed like you did, that's like the most rewarding thing when you look at another man and say that he made it there. So that was my spiel when I came on. I'm still growing and I got a lot to learn, but that's the thing. I will never stop learning to my soul is called. That's it.
Hey, bro. I hear you. And you know, you said you were kind of raw when it came down to the business piece, but you, 1, 2, 3, now you're working on a fourth business. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't really like when people say this, but it is what it is. You know, fake it till you make it. Man, you've been doing it, you know, using the resources that are available to build these businesses out.
You're doing well, my brother. I applaud you, man. You know, someone who came back from the Bing and got multiple businesses. My question is more so around like how you were raised. You know, like we talk about like the experiences we go through as returning citizens or any adversity that we may go through, but like share a little bit about your background and just, you know, how you grew up and just that dynamic, because a lot of people can kind of relate to similar lifestyles and similar like upbringing, and that has a tremendous impact on how we behave and how we move, you know, as we get older.
Well, I come from a family of 10. We lived in the projects, 3 bedrooms, and single parent mother. And father left me at the age of 7. Father was the swim coach for YMCA. He was a professor at Dunbar High School, but never was my father. My oldest brothers and them was my look up to, and my uncles who was in a syndicate. They was my go-to people to look at, well, this is what men supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So during the process of growing up, it's 10 of us. Mom's got 3 jobs. So when I turned 14, I was introduced to a life secretly on my own. I was looking at my brother and I'm getting this money and looking nice and the girls around him. And I was like, oh, I want to be my brother.
Right.
So because the thing is, as human beings, we just want to be happy.
Right.
And that's seeing him happy, doing whatever he want to do and nice cars and nice women, it was like exhilarating. Like, oh, this. And then looking at these TV shows, like we grew up off Good Times. So looking at them being poor and then looking at my brother, I'm like, I don't want to be like them. Yeah. I want to be like him. Right. So that was my role model.
Right.
And as I grew older, during my time, a lot of guys didn't like young guys out there in the street like they do now.
Yeah.
The wave was different back then. Mm-hmm. I had to sneak and get my little brown pouch bags and put my weed in and sell it. But if I got caught by one of them dudes from off the street, what you doing? I'm going to tell your brother and your mother. We don't have that right now. Yeah. But back then, that's what it, but when I got around my 15, 16, 17 and was fighting, we moved from the projects to up Park Heights in 79. I was already used to seeing people get shot, fighting, killed, babies thrown out the window from the 10th floor. I've seen it.
Right.
So when I came into Park Ice doing this in 79, that stuff wasn't new to me. So guys looked at me like I was crazy because the stuff they was going through, I was like, what? That's nothing. I seen worse than that.
Right.
So my mentality was totally different. So when I got up there and then my brother had a name, my sister had a name, and they was known, we was known as the And Kids because all of us can fight. Everybody can fight from the babies all the way up to the mother. Everybody fight.
Yeah.
So during them times, man, it was rough. So I come from a background of get it how you live.
Right.
Don't worry about what people say about you. Be your own man. Stand your ground. Don't snitch. All that stuff. It varies.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I'm like really thinking about it. Like growing up, I had no leaders. Yeah. No real leaders.
Right. Right.
So sometimes you start leading yourself because I didn't want to be known as Lord Omar. Because that's my brother's name, Omar.
Yeah. Okay.
My brother's name is Omar.
Wow. Wow.
So I was like, I don't want to be known as Little Omar. So I created a character, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We create characters. Mm-hmm. We navigate and create our own character. I became this guy named L.A. Why they call you up coming from Lafayette Projects? That was my demeanor.
Right.
Ain't you Lil Omar? No, I'm not Lil Omar. Call me L.A. Slim. Don't call me nothing other than what you're supposed to call me.
Right.
So and then I was nice with my hands. So as I go toggle back and forth from my past to now, I had the ability to choose to do boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the smartest kids in my school. I think Mr. Omar know one of my best friends. His name Derek Chase. We grew up together.
Absolutely, yeah.
He chose school, and I chose the street. Yeah. We could have went this. I could have went to school, and he could have went street. That's how. Like one thing I sit back and say, even though the circumstances as they was between stimuli and response, we have that one beautiful thing we can do is choose.
Yeah,
choice.
And when I chose certain things, the choices I made created conditions of negativity. But now that when I went into the prison system and I changed my character again, I narrated a new character. I actually came back to being Lamont Bell, who God intended me already to be.
Right.
So all the good principles and stuff that I learned made me develop a character that like, oh, I can actually change and re-script my whole entire life and be a not a different person, but the person I was meant to be on a higher level of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, like all the stuff, all my belief system from growing up, get it how you live, just what men do. We don't snitch, we don't rap, blah, 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 and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, it was a facade to fit the street persona.
Right.
That's not what men do. Men build communities.
Right.
They build families, communities, and they are their integrity is to a limit where as though it's unquestionable. And when I found out that I can re-script my life and redo things over, and it's never too late. I went in at 28. I ain't come home until I was 40.
Wow.
Wow. You know what I'm saying?
So this is my follow-up to that initial question. What would you tell your younger self, knowing what you know now, going through what you went through at 28 till 40, and the things you experienced as a kid? What would you tell your younger self?
Good question, man.
That was a good one. What I would tell myself back then, what would I tell myself? I would actually give them the advice that you can't solve a problem at the same level of thinking that you did when you created it.
Mm. Right. That's powerful.
So that's what I tell my younger self, because you really got to think about it. When we create the conditions that we built and we try to resolve it, it's called insanity. Because that was my first rodeo when I went to prison. That was my third. I'm a three-time felon. Mm. So the insanity was, I can beat the system. Let me go and I can beat them this way.
Right.
I call myself sharp, but actually I was dulling myself, because I wouldn't let my right side of my brain lead and my left brain manage.
Wow.
So when I was acting in that capacity, I'm like, oh. And when I sit back with prison do to you, if you really sit back, it allows you to put yourself in a space in a corner and imagine. When you tap into the creativity of your right side of your brain and you envision how I want my life to be, this is my goal, this is how I want to look, and imagine yourself actually being in that position.
It reveals yourself to yourself. Like,
it's the most, it was the aha moment for me. So as I'm sitting there, people didn't understand, like, dude, you got 20 years, why are you happy? Because I finally found out who I am as a human being and a capability. I just started studying my brain, how it worked, the organs in my body, what makes it function. I live in this body every day, but I don't know nothing about it.
Right.
That's the major problem. It was the simplistic things that I wasn't doing that caused, because I'm trying to think, I want to be sharp. I want to speak these sharp words. I'm reading, I'm trying to find, got dictionaries this big. I'm just trying to learn words. But then I said, ho, I'm the most simple but yet complicated, complex creation on the planet. Let me study myself. That was the best psychology class that you can get from any Harvard school in the world. In the world, hands down. Yeah. Harvard can't touch it. Yeah. When you're in there for 10 years or more, it can't touch it. Because you got to watch how a person move, the way you look, the body language. All that stuff plays a major role. Then you start understanding that other people's character when you understand self. Mm-hmm. And that's what
self
elevating it.
Wow. That's what's up.
Yeah, understand that mindset, you know, making sure your mindset is strong as well. Right. You know, so we have a number of people who come on the podcast, and, you know, even, you know, some of the individuals that, you know, we know in our everyday life, you know, who are formerly incarcerated individuals, returning citizens. And, you know, when I talk to them, they said, Omar, I need to eat, you know, so I have to go get this job first, and then I can consider entrepreneurship. I respect that, you know, and, you know, you being a three-time felon, you know,
yeah,
that has three plus businesses, you know, what information would, or what strategies or advice would you give to those individuals who are, you know, like you were, you know, you said when you came home, there were some resources, but they were leading you to employment. You know, and I understand that, you know, I'm here now, and you confirmed it too. The first 6 months are critical, you know. So what advice would you give to individuals about, you know, thinking about entrepreneurship and getting to that point, not just thinking about it, you know, but, you know, manifesting it? you know, what advice should you give to them?
Once you like get to the point that you want to be an entrepreneur and be sure about it, first of all, you got a plan. And the first plan is that what is the means that I need to get to where I need to go? And when you figure that, when you figure out, let me put it this way. Anyone, before they come home, you need to write a mission statement.
A mission statement for life or a mission statement for?
A mission statement for your life from all four quadrants of your life, financial, physical, professional, and for your community. When you write that mission statement, it's like the Constitution of America. That's your private constitution that you must uphold and live by. And if you have, and when you start building on your character, see, we living in a time that we have a personality thing. People want to use personality and form, but that's second nature. Character is the first nature of any human being. So build character, build trust, build integrity. Everything will follow. Your first 6 months home is just building. Get a job. I'm not saying don't get a job, but let that job be a means towards your end.
Right. Let that be a platform for the next.
Yeah, just let that be a platform and let that be your beginning point. It's not your end point. And anything that's ethical and of moral principles, let that be your guide to your business. And you have to find out what you love doing. One thing I learned is that psychologically, anybody have a passion for something, what it does, it becomes easy. Only things become hard is when you don't have a passion. You just do, I'm just doing it for the money. If it's for the money, then your entrepreneurship is going to be limited. But if you do it out of passion and the money is secondary, guess what? The world will bend to its knees and you will get everything that's coming to you without a question. I'm a witness to that. They told me no several times. Oh, you're three times around. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm living proof. I tell guys, there's no excuse because you was inside. My life was just as terrible as yours. There's no excuse. And the last thing I will tell a person, consistency, consistency, consistency. You cannot fail. Once you get that character, and from your character, you conquer your private victories, it's going to spill into your public victories. Yeah. People won't see who you are.
Yeah.
Instead of being two faces, oh, 1 minute, I'm from brother Omar, and now, hey, yeah, brother, blah, blah, down right here, yeah, you know, that mother effer, this, and that. No, you got to start from a character base and let that be your persona, period. Whether it's public or private. Because I feel though integrity is the higher form of loyalty. You can be loyal to money, but if you have integrity, it's certain money that you won't touch.
Right. And there's certain things money can't buy, you know, and there's certain doors money won't get you into.
Period. Exactly.
So
it's the character.
It's your character that's going to get you in those rooms, you know, where most people won't be able to get into. So yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you hit it right on the nose.
Discipline.
And that's what I tell brothers.
Discipline.
Don't come home saying somebody owes you anything. No one owes you anything. You owe yourself. So capitalize off, you are the business. I don't care. See, that's the producing capability. The business that you create physically is the producing capability. You are actually the business. You yourself. So whatever you got in here, in that heart, and in your mind, is going to show in your business. Your integrity or your lack of integrity is going to show in your business. So it starts from an inside in, an inside out approach, because whatever you got inside is going to manifest physically. I don't care. It's the law. I thought about this for years. When I sat in that cell, I thought for years, nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hold me. I'm not waiting for nobody. I'm not mad at nobody. It was my choice. The stimuli was, oh, get money, do this and this, women, cars, and chicks. And my response was, I'm going to go and get it. Now my response, I don't need that, because that don't build nothing. That destroyed my community. This is what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to create a win-win situation. I eat, they eat, everybody eat, everybody win. I'm good. I can sleep at night. I'm at peace in my heart, and I'm happy. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So that's the things that I would tell a guy coming home. Don't let social pressure guide you into doing something that you really don't want. And if you don't know what happiness is to delay your life with that which you love in the long term. See, people think happiness is just, oh, I got a new iPhone, I just got that new Mercedes, I got this. That's not happiness, because I call that empty success. That's empty success. You got the product of success, but if you have success within and you got this, you got the whole full circle.
Fulfilled, yeah.
And that's how I look at it, and that's what they should do when they come home. Baby steps, because come from being dependent to independent to interdependent. We got to take those stages, because when we come home, we dependent on these programs. Mm-hmm. We depended on, because when I came home, I had to get food stamps. I'm not going to lie. I got food stamps. Anything the state that gave me just to get where I need to get, no pride involved. I got to start where I got to start.
Hey, yeah, no, put your pride aside, man.
Exactly. Like, so the thing is, once you get out of that dependent stage, you transfer your whole way of thinking to that independent, guess what happened? It allowed you to open up doors to be interdependent, whereas though you can deal with like-minded people. And that's the most highest form of dependency, is when you're interdependent, because that means with all three of us together, we can synergize and create something better if it was just one. And that's the key for anybody coming home. Keep it simple. Don't overthink it. Use what you got. Start where you at. Don't have no pride, but have pride of being who you are. And transfer yourself from dependent, interdependent, and then that'll let you allow to work with people who are interdependent, who have the same ideas and want to see you grow and be the best version of yourself. That's the only good advice I can give someone coming out from prison.
Hey, man, you dropped a lot of nuggets, man. We really appreciate that.
Perfect, absolutely.
Yes. So, Lamont, how can people get in contact with you? How can people reach you?
HonorableCleaning17@gmail.com. Watch out for Bo, meaning Building a Wealth. I'm great. Launched my affiliate marketing strategy real soon. I haven't finished doing that yet. I'm working with some other people with that. And if they want my number, 443-616-8102, you can call me. I'll sit down. I'll show them how to get into the franchise business of cleaning, I'm not saying this to boast, but I took a $5,000 cleaning business to over six figures.
Congrats, yeah.
Yeah, that's so all about it. I got the blueprint.
I'll brag about it. Lamont took a $5,000 investment to over six figures. Yeah. Congratulations. You got to brag about it. Celebrate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about celebrating that. Let's celebrate you.
So with that being said, if they need any help, I don't have no mind to contribute to another person, man or woman, to building themselves. And if you sit around me, it's not going to be easy, because anything worth building is going to be hard.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start with character. That's my whole thing. I'm going to start with character. And then I go to the second round with you. You know what I mean? How to influence from your character base, not to play games and manipulate people. And that's what I don't want to be around.
And likewise. All right, man. Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on board. Any final thoughts, Leon, and how people get in contact with you?
No final thoughts. I'm just inspired. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I'm looking forward to a even more exciting rest of the season. And thanks a lot, Lamont, for joining us as our first guest. And look forward to maybe having you back again soon when that business touches seven figures.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I would love.
Well, thank you, Lamont. As always, thank you, Leon, for coming on board as well. And don't forget, you can find all episodes of season one and season two at edacmorgan.com. Just click on the ride. You'll see the Breakthrough Podcast, and that's edacmorgan.com. You know, follow us on Instagram. We at Ride Small Biz. Look forward to chatting with you all next time. Until we meet again, don't forget, continue discovering new pathways. And you know my saying, improve and progress. Peace. Peace. This is Mixed Map Production.